Okay, everyone, welcome into another episode of Formula Vaughn. This is Scott here with Stuart. Stu is joining us live. Hello. So we thought for this episode, we go kind of pick a couple teams and just talk about them and see what their history is and where they are currently sitting, you know, in their situations in recent history. So today, I think we're going to do the Alphas. Both the AlphaTauri and Alfa Romeo. We thought that would be funny, even though they're spelled different. So, I guess we'll start with AlphaTauri, which is formerly Toro Rosso. Is that correct, Stu?
Yes, and before that, they were Minardi.
Oh, okay, see. So, yeah. I guess, you know, AlphaTauri, they've been officially known that since 2020, so last year. They're Scuderia Toro Rosso from 2006 to 2019. I guess the history behind it is they were Minardi and Paul Stoddart sold his kind of stock over to Red Bull back in 2005. And it was kind of a 50-50 share with a Formula One driver. And then in 2008, Red Bull kind of bought him out, which, you know, we can kind of see the writing on the wall. And since then, they've kind of been the junior team for Team Red Bull. But they just rebranded as AlphaTauri in 2020, and they are now saying that they are the sister team to Red Bull rather than the junior team. What do you think of that, Stu? Is that pretty accurate?
I don't think so. It's so they were more of a sister team in the 2007-2008. They actually used the exact same car as Red Bull, so. One of the things we talked about last episode was how every team, one of the things with F1 is every team has to make their own car. They kind of do, they kind of don't. So the kind of don't is that you can buy certain parts from other companies. And what Red Bull was doing was they had Red Bull Technologies, which would design the car and then sell the parts to Red Bull. And at the time, Scuderia Toro Rosso. They may be a sister team in that they are like competing more. They're a lot more, but it's still Pierre Gasly and Yuki Tsunoda are expecting that if they do well enough in a couple of years, they'll be driving for Red Bull. So it's not like, oh, I've made it into the Red Bull F1 system. I can win a championship now. You still want to get into that Red Bull seat.
See, that's what I find interesting. I was kind of doing some research and looking at all the previous drivers. As kind of a recent fan, just seeing the drivers who've been through there, you know, Vettel drove for them before he went to Red Bull, Max Verstappen, Daniel Ricciardo, of course, Carlos Sainz, and then Pierre Gasly currently. It's just really interesting. It seems like they use that as their junior program, or they had been to this point.
Yeah, and that was the whole point of the team. So one of the things that Red Bull had tried in 2005, because they were like, we're going to do F1 different. And they kind of did. They had Coulthard as their main driver, but then they were trying to split the other seat with two different drivers. So the plan was, we'll give one driver four races, another driver four races. Didn't really work out for the first time it swapped, it never swapped back. But they realized they had all these drivers in the Red Bull Academy, and they had nowhere to put them. So what they decided was, okay, we're going to buy another team, basically. And, yeah, like six of the drivers on the grid have come from Scuderia Toro Rosso, a couple who have just left the series were also started there, and Alonso actually started Minardi. And all the way back in 2001.
Interesting. And am I reading right where a lot of Minardi kind of had a big following, and the fans were kind of mad when they rebranded. It kind of felt betrayed. They had a, you know.
Yeah. So with Minardi, they had a huge following. They did pretty well. I think in like the early 90s, they almost had a win. When Giancarlo Minardi sold the team, he said basically, when Giancarlo sold the team, his one regret was that he also sold the name. He wanted to keep the name because he wanted to keep that kind of that thought process behind it, but keep the history. But he wished that he hadn't sold the name. And he was a little mad too of what Paul Stoddart did, like in what is now IndyCar, what by bringing the Minardi name over.
Yeah, I know there was like a huge petition, you know, of the fans. I wonder what those fans, how many of them actually continue to follow him, became kind of Red Bull fans or Toro Rosso fans, or if they kind of moved on.
Yeah, I think they finally got their win in 2008 with Vettel. And I think the one thing that they did do, which was really nice, is they did keep the team in, and I'm going to mispronounce this, in Faenza, Italy.
Mm-hmm.
Which that's pretty neat, because a lot of times when a team buys someone, they either move or they don't keep that culture behind.
Yeah, and that's why they kept the Scuderia name, right? To kind of make it Italian.
A random factoid that I like to throw out is that when Red Bull first bought them, they were like, okay, we've got Red Bull Racing. Now we're going to do Squadra Toro Rosso, because Team Red Bull. And then people had to tell them that's not how you pronounce that. So that's where they quickly changed the name to Scuderia.
That's great. Now, did I read somewhere, I don't know if you know much about this, in like 2007, they made Toro Rosso use the Ferrari engine, Red Bull did, because they had a contract with them. And it was kind of their way to get out of it. Like, hey, we'll just use it in our second team, kind of.
Yeah, that was actually a big deal, because Jean Todt, who was team principal at Ferrari at the time, was pretty pissed off about it, because he got outsmarted, because the Red Bull Racing and Scuderia or STR partnership, everything was basically with Red Bull Technologies. So all the cars, all the parts were made there, and that's where the actual contract was. So Ferrari wasn't making great engines at the time. They wanted Red Bull wanted to switch to Renault, so they did. Awkwardly, that's also how Vettel got his first win, because Ferrari made a much better engine the next year. So Toro Rosso was actually faster than them a lot of the time.
It's very interesting. And I guess it was really interesting in, was it 2019 when Gasly won a race with them?
Yes. Yeah, he won the Italian Grand Prix as well, which is
I remember you see like Christian kind of smirking, but not like, you know, he wasn't happy. But I mean, it is what it is. It's sort of the B team.
I think we might have got that wrong.
Oh, that's all right. Yeah, it's okay. This is why we're here to learn.
Yeah. He won it with AlphaTauri.
Okay.
In their first year.
Got it. When they were the new, I guess we would say they rebranded to promote, Red Bull did, to their fashion line, which we talked about last time, which is just awful.
Yeah.
I don't know who's behind that.
I guess the nicest way is saying it's very European.
I guess. Now, is I noticed also in their history, Scott Speed drove for them. Was he the last American in Formula One?
He was the last full-time driver. So this is where we get into the air quotes. And, oh, yeah, this is, well, actually, point of the show is Alex Rossi, who is currently in IndyCar with Andretti Motorsports. He drove for half a year at Manor, which was an F1 team that lasted for a couple of years. But he was only there for like six races or something. So yeah, Scott Speed was there for a year and a half. Famously got, or allegedly got, punched by Franz Tost. I'm going to try and say that name better next time I say it. for crashing out at the 2007 German Grand Prix. And that was the last race he did, and they brought in Vettel. And it was actually interesting at the time, because American F1 coverage, we had our own coverage at the time, and they were very biased for the American driver. Neither of them had scored points, but Red Bull had to get Vettel into a car, because if they didn't, they were actually going to lose him to Sauber, which is now Alfa Romeo. So they basically kicked out Scott Speed because they had to kick someone out. And they were pretty tough on him during some press conferences about why they made that switch.
That's interesting. So currently drivers, we've got Pierre Gasly, correct? And Yuki Tsunoda.
Mm-hmm.
Currently they are sitting in 8th place out of 10 teams with 27 points. We've got Pierre in 13th out of 21 and Yuki down at 16th, 11 points. Pierre Gasly is interesting to me. He signed a one-year deal. And to me, when I saw that news, I thought it was mainly because before the silly season started, which there's no new news on, there's not really anywhere to go. I get the feeling he wouldn't want to stay there because the next move would be Red Bull, and he's already done that and kind of failed. And I think he kind of, I don't want to say failed. They didn't give him a proper chance. So I feel like he wants to move on and kind of stick it to them. Does that make sense? Is that the feeling you get, Sue?
Yeah, it's interesting because it's tough to say how, I mean, we just had the regulation change. So basically the 2018 to 2021 Red Bull was a very tough car to drive, and he got stuck in the middle of that when they were trying to find a driver other than Max Verstappen who could actually drive it. And so he's in a potentially good seat, but whoever knows we don't know what's going to happen with Perez in the future, although he just signed an extension. But it's F1, so contracts can get canceled at any point. Just ask Danny Rick. And so Red Bull is still the best option.
But I mean, how would you feel? I mean, I guess he could be a bigger man than me. Like, I guess he would want to go up and prove everybody wrong. But if it were me, I would be upset. Like, you aren't, you know, loyal to me. Why should I be loyal to you?
Yeah, I think he's kind of waiting for seeing how the new regulations work itself out.
And, you know, maybe he got over that when he won with them last year, won that race last year. Maybe that was like, haha, you shouldn't have dropped me.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's not the worst thing in the world to be in the Red Bull system. And
well, as we can see with all the drivers.
Yeah, exactly. It's seven drivers on the grid drove for Toro Rosso at some point.
And then we got old Yuki Tsunoda, Japanese driver. I found him very fascinating in Drive to Survive, and my wife thinks he's hilarious. You know, when he messes up, he's like, oh, fuck, sorry.
Yeah.
Like, he's always got that.
Yeah, oh, fuck.
But
he definitely.
He's like 5'2", right?
Yeah, he's a tiny Japanese person, and his Instagram can be pretty funny as well.
Yeah, I found it hilarious how they would like wake him up for training. He was like, it starts my day off wrong when I have to get up and train.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else you want to talk about with AlphaTauri? Do you see them as like branching off or more just being the junior team, continue to be the junior team?
I think they're going to do better. I think the regulation change, I think in the next couple of years, we're going to see the grid compressing considerably. Yeah. So I could see them. I don't think that they're ever going to fully overtake Red Bull, but I could definitely see them having luck at certain races or certain tracks that work for their car, that they may have gone a different direction than Red Bull.
Yeah, I just see, I would find it hard to be a fan of them because it feels like you said, they're never going to be better than Red Bull.
Mm-hmm.
And that Red Bull is going to take every little advantage that they can learn from that team. And so they're never going to be bigger than that. And that must be frustrating for fans of that team, that they're going to steal their drivers or steal their ideas. It's kind of like the testing place.
Yeah. There is a little bit, like, they can't sell designs as much as they used to, but there's still things where they can still, like, kind of collaborate in ways that may not be fully allowed under the rules, but it's not like Ferrari and Mercedes, who are never going to help each other.
Okay, so how about on to the other Alpha team then, Alpha Romeo? Is it Alpha Romeo or Alpha Romeo?
I think it's the first one.
Well, I think I say that because I think good old Valtteri Bottas says Romeo. I don't know if he's doing that to be funny in the flyway.
Yeah.
But Alfa Romeo, it's kind of an interesting story. They won the first two championships at F1 in 1950 and 1951 with Nino Farina and Juan Manuel Fangio, if I'm saying that right. After that, they kind of got out of F1. And they were supplying engines for certain teams in the 60s and 70s. I think they were an engine supplier in the late 70s for a team that Niki Lauda actually drove a car for a few times. But they kind of started to reappear with their logos on Ferrari cars in like 2015, 2016. And then they became the title sponsors for Sauber. In 2018 and took over as the title sponsors for them. So they're kind of a newer team. You know, they have history way back, but they're kind of newer to this current grid. The current drivers are Valtteri Bottas and Joe Zhou. I call him Joe. Is that all right?
Yeah, Zhou Zhanyu.
Zhou Zhanyu, yeah. Call him Joe.
Yeah.
From China. But it's another team I find very interesting as kind of a mid to low sort of team based in Italy, correct?
Switzerland,
you're right. I'm sorry. Yeah. See, I get all these alphas confused. Former Sabre. So what I find interesting is recently they, you know, they had Kimi Raikkonen with them and kind of did it year or two before he retired, and then they got Bottas, kind of poached him after his time with Mercedes. So I'm wondering, I like that they are kind of independent and doing their own thing. There's rumors that Audi want to get involved with them. What are your thoughts on them and how they're going about things as of late?
It hasn't been a great couple of years for them. So they basically, the current iteration of the team started in the kind of the early 90s with Sauber, who used to make sports cars, and then he had a big deal with Red Bull with early on before they started working with a different team and then went away. And then they were kind of the junior team for Ferrari for a long time. So they would get year-old Ferrari engines. They would get older chassis. So there was a big controversy because basically they had gotten their 2003 F1 car looked very much like the Ferrari of the previous year. And people were questioning that. Then they got bought out by BMW. And that only lasted a couple of years. One of the things similar to Minardi was they said, okay, you need to keep our name. So the official team name was BMW Sauber F1. And then when BMW left, they sold it back to Sauber. And just as kind of a final fuck you to BMW, the official name for Sauber in their last year was BMW Sauber Ferrari, because Sauber didn't petition everyone to change the name, and they had Ferrari engines again. So to actually answer the question, not just go into a history lesson, they're definitely one of the lower teams, and being in Switzerland does not help them at all.
Now, do they still have any connection with Ferrari? I mean, weren't they using like a Honda engine for a while, or just the Sauber and Ferraris?
They're a little bit of a junior team to Ferrari again, like how Haas is as well. So Haas buys a lot from them.
The whole Red Bull thing with AlphaTauri is kind of official, and then you've got Ferrari having these little branches of outlets, like something like this.
Their old Sauber driver, Antonio Giovinazzi, was a Ferrari driver, I believe, or a Ferrari junior team member. And they've got some other drivers like that who have been associated but haven't been haven't made it to the Ferrari team, and it's been a long time since the driver's gone from Sauber to Ferrari.
Mm-hmm.
And well, now that I say that, actually, Leclerc actually went there, so never mind.
Well, the difference I see with them and, you know, AlphaTauri is they kind of seem to invest in a veteran, and then they're not just a junior program. They have like almost a veteran and then an up and comer on their squad. So mm-hmm. like now they have Bottas and Zhou, who's like the new guy from F2. Bottas has a lot of history, had a lot of success in the Williams cars, kind of overperforming them with them. And then of course he's been Lewis's number two wingman. Listened to an interview that was pretty interesting with him as of late. And he said his one regret was kind of not going into it with more of an open mind at Mercedes and racing more. Mm-hmm. So this is kind of his opportunity to be the guy and building around him. It seems like Kimi Raikkonen might have done that, but he was kind of on his way out and they didn't have a lot of success with him. So I'm really interested to see with upgrades what they're going to do more necessarily like next year. And mm-hmm. where Bottas, I'm kind of a fan of Bottas. I really like following his life. He loves America and bucket hats.
Yeah, his girlfriend's American.
I think she's Australian, but they like America. She's a cyclist, pro cyclist.
Well, maybe it's a different girlfriend now too.
Well, he was previously married. I think he got divorced. But he's a no nonsense fan. I really enjoy it. So I'm really interested to see if he can progress. And like I said, I like how they are more in a sense independent and not just a feeder team. As I mm-hmm. said in the first episode, I really like the Moneyball aspect of it. You're not just buying things. You're trying to figure things out in the cheapest way possible.
Yeah, and they're definitely like Perez came from them a long time ago. And they had some... Their heyday was like in the early or mid 2010s, mm-hmm. and they definitely did. One of the things that I always liked about them that they seemed to really concentrate on their drivers and is that they would always make them use their tires very little. So when lots of other drivers were doing like two or three stops, they would do a one stop strategy. So it was always interesting seeing what they were doing to make it so that they had to pit less and how that affected the entire race.
Cool. So I guess Bottas currently in ninth with 46 points and Zhou's down in 17th with 5. Any predictions going into the second half of the year for them? Do you think they're on the up and rise or they're just kind of a bottom feeder?
I think they're going to do better this year than they did last year. How many points did you say they had?
In the constructors, they are up in, they're actually up in sixth right now, 51. Yes. Whereas AlphaTauri is down in eighth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they're already doing a lot better than last year where last year they were ninth with only 13 points. So
mm-hmm.
it's this year's definitely a big upgrade for them.
I'm really hoping they can challenge for some podiums. I'd like to see Bottas have some success away from Lewis, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's one of the things that so much of the sport, like any sport really, is about confidence. And there was really no way for him to be confident in that team, no matter how good, unless he immediately blew him out of the water, he wasn't going to ever be the number one there. So I liked him when he was at Williams, and then being a Vettel fan, and how he kind of screwed up a couple of his championship hopes because of either just completely sacrificing his race or something like that. I stopped becoming as much of a fan, but now that he's out of the evil empire, he can, I can
start to root for him again. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very interesting. So, obviously we're still here, in silly season, cause the first race is not till this weekend. And since we last were on, there's been no real other news on the Oscar Piastri stuff. My guess is maybe it's tied up legally and they've told him to hush. They're trying to figure out all those contracts.
Yeah, and there's such a, with nothing really happening right now, I mean, the factories, I think, just opened today as we're recording it. I can definitely agree with that they're just like, people are just so adamant to get any sort of news that if he did anything about it, that's all that we would be hearing right now.
Yeah. Any predictions as far as that? You think Danny Ricks out?
Yeah, he's out.
Yeah, and then where do you think he would go?
I think he'd probably go back to Renault, which is a little bit of what we were talking earlier with. Everyone's always trying to get Pierre Gasly there because he's French, but
you keep hearing random rumors every day. Like I heard Mick Schumacher to Alpine yesterday.
Yeah, I've heard that a bit too, which I'm
doesn't make sense to me, but
yeah, like I could see why he wants to leave Haas because they're not doing that great, and I think he's doing worse than Magnussen, which is kind of to be expected, but I don't know if that's the big upgrade he needs.
Yeah. So the Belgian Grand Prix is Sunday, correct? At Spa? Any predictions with that? I know it's kind of hard to make predictions after the big break, but any bold predictions?
I think it's going to be a better race because they've redone a lot of the track so that we're getting gravel traps back. And The big news I'm hoping for is that there's a contract extension because right now this is the last race they're going to host. They've gone back and forth a couple of times where like there wasn't a race in the early 2000s and then they went away for a year or two. So I think they'll re-sign, but like they're right now one of the things they just did was that they're not allowing anyone to bring alcohol or fireworks into the campgrounds, which I've been to that race and I can understand why they are allowing that because I went in 2007 and 2009, and one of my memories is having to use the bathroom in the middle of the night, going outside and it being daylight because all the fireworks were going.
Who'd you go with? I want to go next time.
One of my MySpace friends, actually.
Showing your age there, Stu. Is it Tom from MySpace?
Yes, it was Tom. He had all that money. It was easy.
Oh, man. Yeah, I've heard sometimes it's cheaper to go to the ones over in Europe by the time you fly there than just the ones in America or Canada.
Yeah, it was 160 euros for our ticket, which if you want to go to the US Grand Prix in Texas, you're looking at like $500. So crazy, for just like basic and then hotels and stuff. We didn't pay for hotels. We just kind of went into a campground and we're like, hey, do you need money? And they're like, no, it's fine. And
it was your Woodstock,
which was nice. Yeah, basically.
The only other thing this weekend, I think they're calling for rain all weekend, so that might be interesting too.
Yeah, it's one of the things about Belgium, if you haven't watched a race there, is that it is the longest track on the calendar. It's also extremely hilly. So you can have like one section of the track be a downpour and the other section be completely dry because it's the elevation changes are that ridiculous.
Wow.
So if we do get rain, it can be pretty exciting.
All right. Okay. So who do you think is going to win? Max again? We can continue.
I think he'll win, and he'll actually win by driving more than two laps this year. So that'll be nice.
Oh, Lord. Stu with his insight. Yeah, I'm interested to see if Lewis can continue his uprise after starting kind of bad. And then, of course, Ferrari. What will happen there? The soap opera of Ferrari. Okay, so I think we'll wrap it up.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah. And why don't we pick another team to do next time? Maybe another lower team we can kind of learn about and maybe do some race recap.
Okay, that sounds good.
So give us a follow, Formula Von, that's VON. We're a part of the Valiant 33 podcast network. Signing off for Stu, this is Scott, and thanks for stopping by. Happy racing.